Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Starting hour number 3 here in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. We're doing the combo again. We had Chiefs coach Andy Reid, then Chiefs GM Brett Veach. Now we've had Jaguars coach Doug Peterson, and we've got Jaguars general manager Trent Baalke. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
Good, good. Tough group to follow, though, those three. So here we go.
You're all right. You're a little hoarse there. You all right?
This has been my voice since I was old enough to hear it. So it hasn't changed. Isn't going to change. Believe it or not, I never smoked a cigarette in my life. So.
Damn, that's kind of amazing.
You still run marathons?
No, I gave that up. Gave that up.
Did you give it up, or did your body say you're giving it up? Because my body eventually said to me, you're giving it up.
I think my body said it's enough, you know, but still runs, just don't participate in the long runs anymore.
Yeah. Well, the human body was not meant to run 26 miles.
Never. I don't even run a mile. I haven't run a mile since 8th grade gym class. That ain't happening. All right, so we talked to Doug a little bit, like Mike said here a few minutes ago. You know, when you did a great job accumulating talent off season, the draft was great. You know, when did you kind of look at your football team and go, oh wow, like, you know, we got something here at least to play with in the future, and maybe we can be competitive this year?
Well, when we went into free agency a year ago and into the draft, when we got done with those two phases, Doug and I sat back and looked. We felt we had a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
You know, but it was getting them to believe they were a good football team and getting them to believe and trust in Doug and the staff and what the systems that we were implementing. You know, so that was a process.
It really was a night and day difference from 2021 to 2022, yeah. And you were the common thread between the two.
Right.
How much did you notice of just the change in the players, in everything, from one year to the next?
Well, again, you know, that was a two-year build, right? That was a 2021 free agent class and 2021. So we had two free agent classes that went into that and two draft classes that went into that. And the plan all along was we felt we could get competitive year one, which was Coach Meyer's first year, and really felt we could win 6 to 8 games in that first year. You know, and obviously that didn't happen. But the goal all along was to try to get very competitive 6 to 8 games year one and then push for a playoff spot in year two, and felt really good about the two classes that we had drafted and the two classes, the free agent classes. But really had a plan, and that plan started with Coach Peterson.
I'm always intrigued because Mike's heard me say before, like, you know, your team with the 49ers, you had Adonises everywhere. I went to the Hall of Fame game this year. It's the second time in this show I'm bringing it up. You got, like, you know, Adonises. You're a size guy, right? I mean, how do you, what is your blank canvas? How do you look for players and kind of build teams?
Well, you know, starting out, when I started out in this profession, it was with Coach Parcells.
Yeah.
You know, and he always said he wanted to get to the stadium in buses, not Volkswagen.
Right.
Right. That was his thing.
That was one
know?
Of his sayings, right.
So, you know, you want to look like an NFL football team. Size matters,
right.
At least for us and how we envision things.
Yep.
And getting off the bus is important. And we're looking for length. I think length over time has proven to be very successful
right.
in this league. Looking at the ability to hold up late season
yeah.
and go through a 17-game stretch
right.
this season
right.
and then into the playoffs. You know, and it's a lot easier for big bodies to withstand that.
Yeah.
And then looking at the teams that you got to beat in the NFL, whether it's the NFC or the AFC, late in this, you're going to have to play in cold weather. You're going to have to run the ball when people know you're going to run the football.
And that's where size matters again.
Yeah, so
right.
just looking at the durability of the players, the functionality of them, and when you want to be playing football and how you want to play it.
Right.
All that factors into how we build it.
I know you're a Parcells guy. I've lived and grew up with a Parcells guy who gave me a quote every other day of my life, right? One other quote along those lines, I want to know if he ever said it to you, is, you know, big guys don't get smaller, but fast guys will get slower as the year goes on.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And the one he always used to say is, you know, that's why they have weight classes in boxing and wrestling.
Right, right.
You know, big guys beat little guys.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
it was just one weight, the little guy would never win,
right,
so or
right.
rarely win.
That's a good one.
You were talking about your free agent classes, and it was nearly a year ago when the process got started and Christian Kirk signed that contract, 4 years, $72 million, and everybody was like, that's crazy. And then the receiver market
yeah.
went haywire, and there was a point like in April where we're like, you know, that Christian Kirk deal – actually,
doesn't
it's
look
like
that
a
bad
pretty or, good deal right yeah. now when you consider where the market's gone. Did you have a sense what was going to happen with some of these other guys when you signed Kirk?
Well, I think we you know, people want to say it was because of that contract the market went ballistic, but I don't believe that.
No.
I think the market was trending that way, you know, and it's, you know, the whole purpose of our free agency, as we talked about it with Coach Peterson, was making sure we had the right pieces around to help Trevor develop, right? A year earlier, we just didn't have enough weapons. We didn't have enough speed on the field. We couldn't get guys open at the rate we needed to. So going into that offseason between and then taking a look at the draft, knowing that our where we were drafting and what would be available, that our best option was free agency, right? To put those pieces around Trevor. Bringing in young receivers is difficult, as we know. It takes them a while to develop. There's
right.
only a certain amount of guys that come in and play well at that position early on. So getting guys that know how to play, and the one thing we loved about Christian, he's a very smart football player. Not only does he have a good set of skills, he's extremely intelligent. He plays the game fast mentally, which was a big benefit to Trevor. And then bringing Zay Jones in as well and Evan Engram in on top of it and ETN getting healthy again, the dynamic, the speed on the field was night and day between 2021 and 22.
Yeah, not even close. You're right. Exactly. But more versatility across the roster. All right, so like, what's the next step? What are we looking at? I know you don't want to give us all your secrets, but for this year, what are you looking at for the Jaguars to kind of round out the roster and the team in general?
Well, more players with versatility, right?
Yeah.
Another, you know, you only got 53 guys, right? Everybody's got the same number of guys. So how do you improve the numbers? Versatility.
Right.
You know, one-dimensional players tend to pigeonhole you a little bit. So looking for guys that are versatile, looking for guys that really fit our system, but more importantly, really fit the culture we're trying to build in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, piggyback off of that, just like your two first-rounders last year. You know, I know they kind of fit your mold as far as length and size. You know, it was controversial, Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, I don't think either one's wrong, but kind of how you came to those determinations and kind of what you know, how you evaluated their first year.
Well, I think, again, you know, with Trayvon and Aiden, both very good football
right,
players.
Right, we know that, right.
Both very different.
Yeah.
You know, and what we, the system that we use and the system defensively that we employ on first and second down and third down, Trayvon was just a better fit for
right.
us and what we're looking for. And obviously the physical, you know, stature of the player as well. But that doesn't take anything away from Aiden. He had a heck of a rookie year, And again, both good football players, but as we looked at it, Trayvon was just a better fit for us at the time.
Right.
And speaking of fits, I've gotten the impression from afar that you and Coach Peterson have a good fit, that it works. And, you know, it's important for the coach and the GM to be on the same page. I think turning it around after the rough start, the loss in Denver, is a testament to the fact that things didn't go dysfunctional, things didn't crumble. But shed some light on your relationship with Coach Peterson and how it's grown from last year at this time to where we are now.
Well, I think like any relationship, it's trust, you know, and the longer you work with somebody, the easier it is to know where that trust fit level is. You know, I have a lot of trust in him, and I hope he has a lot of trust in me. You know, we continue to work at it. We're very collaborative in what we do. You know, we don't make any decisions off the spur of the moment. You know, we think through it, think about how we want this thing to look this year and as we go into the future. But there's a lot of commonalities between us, you know. Where he grew up and what he loves to do with his spare time, and where I grew up and what I love to do in my spare time. He spent a big part of his lifetime in Green Bay, Wisconsin as a Packer. I grew up not too far from there. He loves to hunt and fish. I love to hunt and fish. He loves to golf. I'm okay to golf.
Right? I can't
he
be
likes
perfect.
To golf against me because he kicks
you
my butt.
Some money.
Yeah. Well, I don't
you
gamble.
Don't do that. You're smart. Gamble. You're smart.
But what do you like to fish for?
Walleyes. Walleyes and muskie.
Okay.
You know?
Muskie have teeth, too.
Yeah,
muskie will
edible.
Bite you back.
Yeah.
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 So, but no, it's been a great relationship up to this point. I don't see anything changes. You know, there's a lot of respect. And that's what we try to get within the entire organization is that respect factor and that trust factor. And that's earned over time.
How about over time, you know, the sport always evolving, right? For a guy like you, I'm interested in just like – all right, we just talked about that 49er team back in the 2010-11. Here we are 10 years later. How has the game evolved as far as your job's concerned or how you have to look at players? Is there anything that, you know, jumps out? I think the versatility thing's a big thing like you've talked about. But is there anything else that we don't see as, you know, media or fans?
I think we're still trying to look at it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I really am. You know, it's a big man's game in our opinion. And, you know, that's how we approach it. Doesn't mean we're going to, you know, take every little smaller guy off the board.
Right.
But trying to build a big physical football team that can win those late season games. Because, you know, you look at the AFC right now, you got to go into some tough climates.
Yeah, you do.
Late in the year to win football games. And that takes a tough-minded football team to do that. And that's what we're trying to build.
Right.
How do you balance trying to win while Trevor Lawrence is still on his rookie deal versus recognizing at some pack? At some point, he won't be. And the Chiefs just want it with Patrick Mahomes, not on his rookie deal. I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on going all in while you've got a quarterback early in his career. But how do you balance that reality that you're not going to have Trevor Lawrence at the rookie wage scale rate, maybe for only one more year?
Yeah. You know, again, I think we're not in this for one season. We're not trying to throw everything toward one season or trying to do anything special while he's on his rookie deal. We're trying to build the best football team that we can that's sustainable. And the Chiefs have proven you can do it. And that's the standard right now, and everybody's chasing that standard. And Brett and Coach Reed have done an outstanding job of putting that team together, letting some guys go that, you know, were tough decisions.
Right.
And tough decisions are a part of this business. So, you know, we're gonna look at it, you know, each year and try to build the best, most competitive football team we can. There's only so many resources, right? So you can't re-sign them all. So you got to make prudent decisions
right.
As you go through this.
So last thing, I know you got to go and you'd rather do other things than talk to us, but, you know, damn, I totally blanked out on what I was going to say there. I had something.
Let's talk about Evan Engram.
Oh, that's a good
great,
one.
Great deal.
Oh,
won your contract, but now
you can get back.
What happens? What happens with Evan Engram? In your estimation?
Well, again, we're hoping that we don't have to use the tag. You know, will we? We could. Do we want to? Not really. You know, I think with every deal, there's a win-win. You know, and Evan wants to be back. He's stated that. I don't want to speak for him, but he's stated that publicly. Juwan wants to be back. He stated that publicly. And we want them both back. just like we want Andrew back and Dwan and Arden. We realize, can we do it all? Probably not. We're going to do our best to do it all, and it's going to take some time. And we've got a window here before free agency opens, and our goal as an organization is to close as many of these as we can before we get into free agency. If we can't, we're just going to have to play the game and see where it goes.
Right. I remembered. I'm a blonde from New Jersey. He went to Texas, so it's the trifecta, okay? You got to just stay with me every now and then. You talk about the Chiefs. I wanted to piggyback off of that. You've been around football for a long time. Like, what? And we know the quarterbacks, man, but what impresses you about their football team when you got the chance to see them twice this year? What's the secret sauce that you look at for them?
First of all, they've got a lot of good football players. Yeah. You know, and they've got a culture built there that's very sustainable. Coach Reed is an unbelievable head coach, and he's proven that over his entire career. Certainly a Hall of Famer as you move down the road, well deserving of that. But, you know, I think just the balance that they have across the board, you know, they have physical fronts on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and I think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to run the ball. They can run the ball. You got to be able to stop the run. They can stop the run. You know, so they're a tough out, you know, and we had two good games against them, the second one a little tighter than the first one.
Right.
You know, we're not far away.
No, you're not.
But at the same time, you know, that year's over. We're starting a new year, and it's a lot different when you're the hunted rather than being the hunter.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It is amazing, and we talk about this all the time, where the Jaguars were in 2017, up 10 points in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship, and how quickly it went the wrong way. But it's going back the right way even faster than it went down. And it just feels like you guys are riding that wave of momentum, and you're right. All you can do at this point is try to build on it.
Well, I think, you know, the great thing about how the season ended with the two games at home, you know, prior to the Chiefs game, but the late season game
Tennessee,
to win the AFC South in Tennessee, and then the playoff game against the Chargers, I think the Duval County, the community, you know, we got a real sense for how electric that community can be and how much they'll rally around this football team and this organization. All it takes is us to put a winner out there. And, you know, that's our goal, is to have build off of that environment, that electricity that we had late in the year. And I hope the fans come out from week one and push us through the season rather than waiting till week 17 and 18.
Yeah, right.
Well, based on how it ended last year, I think they'll be there from the get-go this year. He's Trent Baalke, GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks for some of your time. Great seeing you. When we return, Josh McDaniels, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, right here on set. More PFT Live right after this.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here we are in Indianapolis. Joining us now,
head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. His team will be hosting a Super Bowl next year, and he aspires to have his team playing in it. Josh, how are you?
Good.
Welcome.
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you too.
We're having a nice little visit before the cameras. It's like we got to start the interview.
We're having a good talk here.
Roll the cameras and let's just have our conversation.
Yeah. Well, we have a long history together, Josh and I, just between
my condolences, Josh.
Yeah, seriously. between me being in Denver with him as a backup quarterback or him yelling at me about my breakdown being wrong when I was quality control, right? That's a few times where he's like, what the hell is this?
I forced him into broadcasting.
How did you become comfortable signing a guy without a spleen to play quarterback?
His father and I had a long conversation about that, and then this guy did a great job.
I came in for the workout.
He did a great job. He crushed it.
I came in for a workout, just real quick before we dive into your life. It was the windiest day in the history of Denver. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and you threw the ball well.
I threw the ball well, and I think that it's – I wasn't totally 100%, but I was nervous as hell, and it was like 40-mile-per-hour winds. And
did a good job.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for making me feel good. Go ahead.
How is it when you look back at this season in Las Vegas that – you didn't have a single normal game.
No.
How much do you look forward to playing a normal game or two or three or four this year?
I got to believe, Dave and I have talked a lot about this, the experiences we had this year have to be, there's got to be something we went through all that for. Right. You know, there's so many of those close games, so many things that we learned about ourselves, about our team, about our staff. We've gained a lot of information since the season ended. And there's things we all can do better, you know. And so there was a lot of opportunity for us to do better than what we did, and I think that's what we're focused on trying to do.
I try to explain to people all the time about your offense and, of course, how different it is from a lot of other offenses in football, especially the language, right?
Yeah.
How do you approach that? Like, I even laughed with, you know, Derek Carr a little bit at the Hall of Fame game last year because he was in the John Gruden offense with me, and then you get in your offense and you're like, what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah.
So how do you kind of put the training wheels on, and when do you know when it's time to take them off?
You know, it's funny. The last 4 years for me have been really good in terms of coaching that position because I've gone from Tom in 19 to Cam in 2020 to Mac in 2021 to Derek in 22.
Man.
And so – you know, you've had to handle veterans that were used to a different terminology that had played in the league for a while.
Right.
And then you had a young guy that was basically a blank canvas that you got to just paint whatever you wanted to paint on him. And so there's a process, you know what I mean? And you got to – you kind of teach the foundation, go back over it again, go back over it a third time. And then by the time you get to training camp, you know, and you're halfway through training camp, hopefully it's starting to sink in.
Yeah, right.
You mentioned Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Do you believe he's done?
Me personally, I do. I think he's had such an incredible career. I think he's at peace with that. And whatever he would do, I remember last year people were asking me the same question. I said, I don't know. You know, so whatever he would do, I would be happy for him. But I think he's at peace now.
It seems like that, too. I'm with you there as well. I'd be shocked. Last year, we sat here and talked about, you know, your changes you were going to make, the things you learned from Denver to now being the Raiders head coach. And, of course, I was there with you in Denver, and there was a lot going on that people don't know about.
Yep.
You know, but how was it? What was the change? What did you find anything else new about yourself and your approach in this year one with the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much more that I understand about the job.
Right.
And, you know, we have a lot of good people in a lot of areas of our organization that I lean on and trust. There's a lot of delegation that, you know, that's not my area of expertise. And so I try to do what I know best. And then I have a lot of great people that do their job really well. And I just try to be a resource for them. And, you know, again, like I said, we're evaluated on our record. And so that wasn't good enough. But I think what we're trying to build, the culture in the building, the accountability, the different people that we've added to the organization, you know, in year one, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Last year, when Derek Carr was signed to his contract extension, and some focused on the headline and the average and, the long-term. And I remember looking at it saying, this is the 1 year, and then they're going to make a decision after 1 year. And the decision ultimately was what it was. When did you know that it was best for everyone? When's the moment that you knew it was best for everyone to separate?
You know, Mike, when we lost to Pittsburgh and we said, you know what, literally that decision to play Jarrett was really in and of itself a separate decision, because Jarrett was going to be a free agent too. We didn't even know what we had in the guy.
Right.
And so, you know, he was going to be done with his fourth year. And so to play him the last 2 years when we were, or last two games when we were basically eliminated from the playoffs, was, you know, that was kind of that decision. And then we took time after the season and really went back through it and evaluated it. And, you know, and it was hard, you know, it's not an easy choice to make, but it was a little bit after the season ended. Dave and I spent some time watching it over and over again, and you know, there was some tough decisions that had to be made, and that's what we did.
Do you feel like Tom Brady has ruined you when it comes to what you're looking for in a quarterback?
Your expectations are
high. You've coached the GOAT, and nobody else is ever going to live up to him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that. Like, I was really happy with certain things that Cam Newton was able to do in 2020. And we didn't have a group that fit him perfectly, but I thought Cam really grew, and I was really pleased with the way he started to play as the year went on. Same thing with Mac.
Yeah.
I think I can recalibrate it. I really do. I don't expect anybody to be him. I want them to reach their potential and play their best at the position, and I know how hard it is to do that. But I also think I have a good understanding of how to get the best out of that player.
Well, you do, and that's where I want to go with you too. You're sitting pretty in the draft right here for quarterback, maybe.
Yep.
Free agency, we know there's some things out there as well. I know you have a very specific eye for what you look at in a quarterback. You know, don't give away all the secrets here.
Yeah. No, but don't tell him.
Well, I know. He's from New England. You know, he's not going to give all the secrets away.
Well, then you don't have to tell him not to.
Well, I wanted to tell the viewers, but like, if you could kind of go through the Josh McDaniels checklist of QB a little bit for us.
Leadership.
Yeah.
Intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to learn and think.
Right.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
You know, our league is about getting the ball to playmakers. Toughness. You're going to deal with physical stuff. You're going to deal with some adversity mentally.
Yeah.
We know you're going to get all the blame when we lose, and you're going to get all the credit when we win. And so, you know, those are some of the core things that I look for. Can he throw the ball well? Can he think? Can he learn? Can he lead? And is he tough? And can he stay out there? And so, you know, this is as hard a position as there is to play.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot more that goes into it than just those things, but I'd say in terms of prerequisites, those things are at the top.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you, have you changed, like, your 2022, 2023 here, where 10 years ago we were in, and I know I was like you in New England and Denver, like the measurables of quarterbacks, like certain size, certain hand size. If it was below that, you guys wouldn't look at them, right?
Yeah.
Have you changed along that?
We've adapted.
You've
for
adapted.
Sure.
You have.
Yeah. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Right.
Honestly, it's in college football, it's changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, by default, you have to change with it, you know. I think it's no different than when you look at the linebacker position.
Right.
You know, and linebackers are 222 pounds.
Huge guys.
They can run 4.6 or 4.55 and go sideline to sideline. You know, there's a lot of things that we've had to adapt to. Quarterback play is one of them.
Right.
We're going to have a pop quiz.
Yep.
Oh, I like it.
Question for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a scenario, and I'm curious – not for a firm answer. I just want to know what factors you would consider in making this decision.
Yep.
All right? It's 4th and 3 from your own 32.
Yep.
You're down 1 point with 10:33 left in the game. What factors do you consider in deciding whether to go for it? 4th and 3, own 32, down 1 with 10:33 to play.
Wow.
I think, you know, how the game has progressed so far. Are we stopping them on defense? Is it a high-scoring game? I think the fact that we would be down 1 and then if we didn't make it and they scored, we still might be only down 1 score with a 2-point conversion potentially to tie the game. I think that would all go into my thought process there. If it was, you know, 13-10 at that point, you know, I think that might change my thinking.
Less likely if it's 13-10?
Less likely.
Right. More likely if it's
if
like
it's 37-27 or something
then
like that.
Go.
Then I'm probably going to go for it, you know, and
13-10,
say, let's go ahead and do it.
13-10, defensive struggle. Let's keep playing that game.
That's right.
Does it matter if it's middle of October or postseason?
No. I think you do the right thing based on how the game is going. That's one of the things that, you know, the analytics part, when you look at the charts, you know, some of those charts before the game, and they say, this is it, this is it. Sometimes the things that are hard to factor in there is the, you know, the playing conditions, the wind, how the game is going. You know, when you're – there's no question about it. You have a – there's a human element of confidence that you have as a play caller, as a coach during the course of the game. You know, and there's certain games where you're really confident because your team is displaying something out there that you go and I think we're good here. Yeah. We can go for it.
Right.
And then there's other times where maybe we're struggling a little bit. You know?
And you've got to calibrate your confidence as the game goes on.
That's real.
It went well early, and now all of a sudden we're not stopping them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. All right. I got another pop quiz for you.
Go ahead.
3rd and 10, 3 seconds left. Handing the ball up the middle to Ramondre Stevenson, playing your old team. And with how many?
Chris.
Were you like, what the hell? Tell us, like, bring us into your mind for that. It was the most unbelievable moment of the year.
Yeah, that was, at first I thought we were preparing for the Hail Mary.
Right.
You know, and we had Mac Hollins in the game to try to, he was our knock it down guy, you know, our biggest, tallest guy that has good hands. We were going to try to knock it down. And they lined up in an opened up formation.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, here it comes. He's going to throw it, you know, as far as he can throw it. And then when the ball got handed to Ramondre, I was a little bit shocked that happened. Because again, the question was always like, well, if you're going to do that, should you just take a knee?
Just a kneel, right?
You know,
right?
And then I've had there could be a defensive penalty. It could improve the field position. You know, all that stuff. Yeah. Face mask. So there's other things that could happen that could have changed the outcome of the game. But certainly when the lateral happened and then Kobe lateraled it again, I didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, like, the intent. And I think it sunk in a little bit later that it was probably just a mistake.
Man, you're 2-0 against Bill Belichick. You got that play and you broke out the wildcat on him. In Denver, which I've told the story many times, right? You've heard me tell that story. That's still one of my favorite stories ever.
He brings the best out of you.
Yeah, he does.
There's no question.
Josh was Josh is always, of course, focused. But when we played New England that year, the one thing I remember, he's like, listen, we're not going to outthink Bill. That always sticks in my head. We're not going to outthink him. So we got to do everything the right way.
Got to try to do the little things right.
Yeah, right.
Let me ask you about another Josh, before we let you go. Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Got to make a decision in the next week or so on franchise tag. I think he's bracing for it. We talked to him at the Super Bowl. What's your current thought process on whether or not you want him long-term or you would want him just for another year, two at the most under the tag?
We would love for him to be a Raider moving forward. I know Dave and his representative have been in contact with one another. They're working through that process. If we can do something longer than that, that's the goal. You know, there's no question about it. He's a great football player. He's still young. You know, everybody's like, well, he's played a lot. He has played a lot of football, but he's a young player. You know, he's still 24 years old. And so going forward here in the next week, hopefully we can do that. I know that that's what our goal is. And Dave and his representative have been in contact and working through it. Yeah.
Was it a process to get him on board? You know, we look back to the Hall of Fame game he played in that. I know you had a reason for it, but was part of the reason I got to get him fully under the tent. He wasn't a captain until middle of the season. Was there an effort to get him on board with
what you were doing? It wasn't a legitimate thing where we were punishing JJ at all. Right. It never was that. He missed most of the entire offseason and then, you know, was kind of getting acclimated into training camp. And so I wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, let him have a chance to get the ball handed to him and not go through the whole month of August.
Not
and
getting tackled or hit or block somebody.
And never touched and then go into the first game.
Right.
So, you know, ball security is such an important part to our backs. I just wanted him to touch the ball a few times and go. And he was great with it.
Right.
He ran his butt off in the Hall of Fame game.
Your team right now, and I know you got to go here soon, but your team right now, You're rebuilding, but you got some guys that are Devontae and Darren Waller and Renfro and Josh Jacobs if he's back. Where you go, hey, they're there.
Yep.
They're kind of ready now.
Yeah.
How much does that affect the quarterback decision? You know, in the top 10 or
I mean, we don't have a quarterback under contract other than Chase right now. So that room's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to be. I don't think it's just going to be one avenue. You know, we have to add some veteran presence there. It may be Stidham. You know, it may be And then we have to look at the draft and see if we can add a good player, you know, a good young player or two.
Right.
You know, and so we're not going to turn away from anybody at that position. It's definitely going to look different, you know, I'd say a couple months from now than it does right now.
Yeah.
And we want the guy to play good. Right. Whoever's playing quarterback, we want him to play well. We got some good pieces, as you just mentioned, around him, and that's the goal, is try to improve our football team everywhere we can.
Yeah.
You ever look at the rosters and the coaching staffs in your division and say,
Why did I pick this division?
It was a lot easier when we were in New England and the Bills, Jets, and the Dolphins didn't have anything.
You know, that's a real thing, you know, with Pat and Justin and Russ and the coaches that, you know.
Yeah, like how
Brandon
real is
and Sean
it?
And yeah. Andy. I think, but it's a great challenge. Like, right. I thought, I look back at our game against Kansas City early in the season, Monday Night Football, and it was, you know, our guys felt the, like, that's the team.
Yeah.
Like, we're chasing.
Right.
We all are.
And you guys came out
and
of the gates.
So it was exciting
it
for
was.
Us to feel that.
Right.
And so, look, our division's tough. I think every division is tough at the end of the day. And if you want to hold the trophy, if you want to hold the trophy at the end of the season, you're going to have to beat the good teams.
Right. Some divisions are tougher than others, and you're in the toughest one, I think.
Last one. Because just you brought me there. Just like you've been around the GOAT forever.
Yeah.
Talk about baby GOAT in the division here, you know, Mahomes. Just like what jumps out to him about him, studying him, everything.
Leadership, toughness.
Yeah.
Plays his best at the biggest moments.
Right.
He really does.
Right? It's amazing. He really
everybody
does.
Everybody talks about, you know, his ability to run around and make loose plays, and he makes some of those.
Sure.
We all know he does.
Yeah.
But that's his game. There's so much
more
substance
to
his game than that. I'd say protections, knowing when he has a problem and blitz pickup, you know, finding the outlets, throwing short passes accurately so his guys can catch and run.
And
there's so much to this player.
Right.
He's a special player, and it's going to take a lot to beat him a couple times a year, and we're going to try to figure out how to do that differently.
Have you ever seen anybody like him? Like, I mean, like, you know, just the way he plays that
he's
style.
He's a different player.
Right?
It's different,
right?
Style.
It really is.
It's a different style.
And
yeah.
he's only going to get better.
He is.
As he sees more, like
he
Tom
is.
Did.
He is.
The more he sees, the more reps, the
it's
more defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to trick him.
Yeah.
Well, we tried to trick you a little bit today.
No, you were great.
No, it was fun. It was great talking to you. And by the way, full disclosure, Nick Sirianni said after the Super Bowl, the scenario I gave you was the one Sirianni was facing down one in the fourth quarter. And he said 32 out of 32 coaches would have punted there. So we're going to do a little loose experiment. You were the guinea pig.
You were
kind of
in the middle. Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into
it. There's a lot that goes into it.
I think you would have gone for it. Maybe we'll find out in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, Super Bowl 58. Josh McDaniels, thanks for some of your time. We look forward to talking to you down the road. We'll be back with more right after this.
So I woke up like at 3. So then I YouTubed you and we're showing all this high school from you.
Great.
And bro, your technique was trash.
Clock.
You were fabulous notes, bro.
Time out!
He said the clock's good.
All right. Non-negotiable. Nice.
It's not bad.
You can hang out by me, Will.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang out by you.
That first guy tried to tackle you and you didn't let him tackle you?
Yeah.
That was sick. Georgia is definitely the best SEC school. So glad to hear me.
Woo!
We're so glad he's here, Mike McDaniel.
Oh, man.
Coach of the Miami Dolphins heading into year number two.
What's that old man for?
Oh, man. Well, what is that old man for?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what that old man for, sir. It is. It is layered. You're the best dressed coach. You came in here looking like Johnny Miami with great outfit. I just don't see any coaches like that. So I was going to go, oh, man, this guy, look at him, Miami, coaches money. That's what I was coming in
Can't
with.
Hide money.
That's right.
Not trying to. Spend a lot of life poor.
That's right. It's a very good answer. Yeah. Right. You got some money, now, you might as well spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, good way to start it.
Still driving the RS7 or have you upgraded already?
No, RS7 still.
Figure out how to lock it?
Yes.
There you go. I didn't even know
that's
it's got the
that's right.
finger thing. I got a hard time from some of my friends.
Look at you, like, rich son of a
Hey, if he's going to lean into it, I am too. I spent a lot of my life poor too, baby.
You just didn't get caught on television not being able to work it like I did.
Yeah, that's true. I admitted it to people, and they're like, don't you realize that there's a button there to press? It's like, no, I didn't. You carry around. I hate the key fob. I hate not having a key to put. This is old school.
Yeah.
I want to put a key in the ignition and turn on. I got out of that thing the other day, and it's like, is it off or is it not off? Like, what happens if I walk away and it's running? Like, if there's a key in the ignition, I know it's on, I know it's off.
There is recourse to that, right? It's buy a car that's made in the 90s.
True.
I have not gone that direction.
Oh, here we go.
There it is.
There
it is.
Oh, look at that.
It's that button right there.
Baby.
I haven't got checked. Just make sure. That's first day on the job.
Oh, there's the
Guy adept at his job enough to put that on? Like, I don't want to be accountable for that. I want it to be of lore.
Do you even, like, when you see clips like that or the one you were mic'd up in, do you lose yourself in those moments? Do you know you're still mic'd up, or you just go, I don't even care, and just go?
I mean, when you're mic'd up to coach a national or NFL game and to call it, you can't really think about, like, you don't – I mean, that is about as candid as I can be.
Yeah, right.
Edited, because I do say a lot of expletives.
F-words, yeah. Right, yeah, you do.
But yeah, honestly, that's just me being me. I think it's hilarious that people find it entertaining to some degree.
Yeah.
Sure, some more than others, but – yeah, it's just a little day in the life of probably all the things that my wife rolls her eyes about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It really did feel like you had five different seasons last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hot start, and then it cools off, and then you're at it again. And when you look back on that first season, what's the big takeaway for you?
I'm very happy with where we're able to get our team through all the adversity. I really like where we're at with our young nucleus moving forward. I think that was unbelievably beneficial experience. You know, you're talking about what you're chasing all the time, right? But that gave it tangible legs. You know, to feel the atmosphere of a playoff game, it's different. And you know, it's an odd way of work where you're working 6 months straight to get that opportunity. You're probably pretty tired, whether you're a coach or a player, but it's all worth it.
Yeah,
you know, right. You know, obviously you'd prefer to have the path of least resistance to some degree. We did make it challenging on ourselves, but at the same time, I think it was an invaluable experience for our team moving forward.
Definitely. I mean, great year in a lot of ways. It really was. And, I mean, yeah, you had to deal with a lot. We're going to kind of unpack that. But all right, so for you yourself, like, what was the biggest, you know, challenge or hurdle or thing you didn't expect, you know, becoming a head coach? Is there anything that just was like, oh, man, I didn't really realize I was going to have to deal with this all the time, or anything that jumps out in that manner?
You know, I've been to be honest, I was just so fortunate to, you know, work with Kyle Shanahan for so long and then have experience with so many different young coaches who, while I was friends with them, were peers, and then they became head coaches.
Right.
So that really gave me kind
a little
of
feel.
Yeah, and to understand what the job truly was. I don't think, regardless, until you're in the situation, that you can truly grasp the gravity across the board. And I couldn't have prepared myself for the...
And what do you mean by that, the gravity across there? Just the nonstop, constant, it's always something? Oh, like, what do you mean by that? Like,
well, that's a great question.
Okay.
it's more... I don't know, the responsibility I felt towards really anybody that would cheer Dolphins, for all the people in the building, first and foremost, really the players. But then that extends itself to the you know, an organization that is so hungry that you know, to return to their glory days and being in charge of helping facilitate a group of people. You know, it just encompasses your daily life. Anytime your eyes are open, it's what you're thinking about, and when your eyes are closed as well. So it's all encompassing, but what a tremendous responsibility. I feel so fortunate that you know, being given the opportunity by our owner and general manager and everybody a part of that process, and, you know, I take it super serious, and it's very important to me, a lifelong dream. So it's, let's just say, it's easy to be motivated.
Yeah, that's right.
How have you changed in the last year?
I'm not sure if you guys noticed, I'm 3 inches taller. At least that's what people tell me. I try not to change, only because, I think if I change, I'm kind of allowing the job to overcome that. They hire, people hired me to be me. They didn't hire me to be a different version of me. I'm not really good at acting it as other people. I'm better at myself. Haven't totally refined it yet. It's hard for me to forecast a situation where I would, I'd hope people would say, hey, there's the same guy. I have more responsibility for sure. But, I think I've, at every walk of my career, I've tried to take the same seriousness and, honor to the position. So, I hope if you're trying to insult me, can be like, I remember when you were, now you're not.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And there's different ways you can change. I mean, you can change in a good way, you can change in a bad way, and you seem like the same guy a year later, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, we think so. All right, so you didn't change. Yeah, we think so. You didn't change at all.
It was a floating compliment.
Yeah, it was a floating compliment. Wow. I think it was a real compliment.
Dude, first time on set with Mr. Florio.
Yeah, I know.
Not nearly as bad as you described
it. Oh, I know, right? Right? He's just way tougher.
I got time. I still got time.
Get to know him a little
bit. Are you
bit.
Younger?
What, am I younger than who? Younger than
Just younger than the last time
I
saw you?
I'm 3 inches younger than I was last year.
I'm just in a vortex now. Hey, I don't even know where we're at.
No, we're going to get back on topic here, okay?
Easily,
you too. You're too smart for me. I'm just dumb and want to ask you football questions, okay? Both of you are too smart
Let's
for
get
me.
Serious. Let's get serious. I've been saving
with
this
two, you had to deal with one of the craziest situations in the NFL this year. Just that in itself. What was that like? Were you all of a sudden like, where's Mike McDaniel's got to be Dr. Concussion here and talk to the world about the medical process? That had to be annoying and all-encompassing like you were talking about.
The way I look at it, it was, times of turmoil is when the organization needs you as a leader the most. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, for individual players, for the entire organization, for the football team, I saw it in the moment as a time that I needed to rise to the occasion. That brings purpose to the position of head coach. I think. Ultimately, it's not something that you feel like you're 100. You can't really predict that.
Yeah, of course not.
But I mean, the biggest thing was, I'm a human being that cares about people. That that's why I got into the business. Mm-hmm. I thought I could positively affect, people aspiring to make this their career. So. Anytime things happen in that nature, it's tough. It feels, you are heavily invested, and you just want to do what's right. You try to navigate, what that is as best you can. I didn't accept the job. I didn't get into the profession, under any guise that it was easy. And, I think there's a certain amount of responsibility you have to take, understanding that, it's a bottom line business, and when certain things happen, somebody's got to pay, pony up. And, I think you take the good with the bad and understand what that means just in general. It's a tough position. It's not for everybody, which makes it that much more, something that,
you want to be a part of, or awesome.
Yeah, and just want to, I really, really want to be good at it in the worst way. So,
okay, let's spin it forward for 2023, because we saw what happened to Tua last year with the two diagnosed concussions, both from his head hitting the ground. He said a few weeks ago he's putting judo into his routine to learn how to fall. From your perspective, what are you going to try to coach him to do? How are you going to try to help him avoid getting into these situations where he's striking his head and possibly emerging with a concussion?
No, so the ground is not his friend, so we're trying to avoid that opponent. That's what he's. That's been the correlating factor, really, from this past season. So, jiu-jitsu. I think he threw judo out there, but it's really jiu-jitsu that we've kind of focused. Yeah. Off-season attention, and I think it's like anything else. If all contributing factors, if the people teaching them the trade are all in, if they're doing their due diligence and the person involved is doing their due diligence, you have something to work with. So far, so good. I probably couldn't have conceived a better plan that they've really come up with, and it's very concerted.
Think about how to roll on the ground, like explain to the viewers a little.
It's
just how to absorb the ground, the blow, whatever.
It's how to continue, like no one trains you for anything after your follow through.
Right? Yeah.
So it's training that.
Right.
And how to
go with it.
Right. And then really dissipate force. Right. And there's some strengthening in the neck and core that's involved in that, but also just reps that when you really think about it as a quarterback, you're saving all those reps for the game and how to fall.
Right.
So kind of really attacking that and seeing different creative ways that we can come up with incorporating that into even beyond the strict off season, but into OTAs or training camp, so that your quarterbacks aren't just getting all of the experience live action getting tackled. There's got to be a better way, which is what we're really chasing right now.
Yeah.
So you've got a decision to make coming up by May, early May, fifth year option, or long-term contract, or let him play out his contract like the Giants did with Daniel Jones last year. Where are you leaning right now?
Or I could participate in Dancing with the Stars.
You could do that too. That's option four. And I hope you pick option four. But if option four is off the table, which of the other three are we leaning
toward?
Well,
do you? I think that's something that, that is incredibly important to the franchise and to the individual. And here's the bottom line: both parties are really trying tooth and nail to make sure that Tua is around for a long time, playing at a very high level. So with that end in sight, there's a couple different ways that we can handle it. Both Chris and I have had extensive talks and will continue to do so, but the bottom line is that our ultimate decision will be what's best to promote that, which is, I think it's in its simplest form. We've identified very high level quarterback play that we want to be in,
be a part of,
right?
Yeah,
because that's how I avoid Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, right. We don't want you. That's not a good career move. Dancing with the Stars is not. That means you're kind of towards the end of your career. I think you don't want to go there yet. All right.
I'm not. I'm hoping not to necessitate a career revival.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's right. Exactly.
Right.
All right, so part of this right now and what you're living in, do hit on this a little. Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, we know how awesome he is, but I think I've heard people in the past talk about, when you see him in person and you get him in practice and you just go, oh, my gosh, this is unreal. Talk about, him, how shocking it is seeing him every day, what he does for your offense, the threat of Tyreek Hill.
Well, by all measures, this is a normal size human being ish.
Yeah,
he's pretty yoked up, I think I am a fraction taller than him.
Right.
So I think thinking about that and then understanding that this dude competes at a different level than you've ever seen, that the residual effect on all players involved in any sort of competitive activity.
They see him working and they get
it's unbelievable.
Right.
And I've been around elite workers.
Yeah.
But you talk about you can see how he stands out from every other person roughly his size on the planet, because that his edge, his competitiveness, really renders complete. I mean, he goes after it in practice, and he challenges people, and he that's what you need from your best players to maximize the talent that you have on your roster. So, and when I say that this dude can run any route that exists, and then some, I mean, we were able to last off-season try some routes that, like...
You were probably like, I've never tried this before, but we'll do it.
And we didn't know how it timed up with the quarterback or whatever. It was just like... And, you know, I think you guys saw some of that during the regular season, for sure. And there's... That's what was really cool, is to see a guy that had been... I mean, all 6 years of his career, I think, he was in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I think... Half of which, at least two, but at least around half were first or all pro selections. Those are hard things to do. How does a guy exist like that in the National Football League? You have to be talented, but there has to be a drive.
Something else, right?
That is unmatched.
We can listen to you all day. They're telling me we got to go. So I'm going to drive my car down to Miami and we'll find a track and we'll go.
Oh, damn, I like it.
It's over?
We got to go. It's over. It's done.
He's live TV show.
But he's you're having me coach. Back, right?
Not today.
No. We'll have you anytime you want, anytime we'll after. Hook up a Zoom and you can join us. Yes. Anytime you want.
Yeah. All right. I have a feeling you're not going to call us and we're going to call you.
I'm not nearly as impressive on Zoom. Zoom.
We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
He's not our starter. He's coming in as a QB1. He'll get a great opportunity to be our starter. But we do want to find a veteran quarterback. You know, we have Taylor Heinicke. That's a free agent. We've got to work through that as well, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Slightly different message from Ron Rivera than what we heard 3 weeks ago. We get the impression that
it was him all
Sam
the way.
Howell is the guy. Right. Now he's QB1, but he's not the starter. I don't know what that means.
Well, I wish I would have picked up on that. I really do, because it's cryptic coach talk. Yeah, he's QB1. Like, he'll start and take the first rep of OTAs, right? But that doesn't mean he's the head coach.
Well, he's still got to earn the job.
He's got to earn the job. And I think that's probably where he's dialing it back. And I think he's probably realized what you're saying.
We don't have time to delve into it. We've got the story at PFT, and there will be more. The ESPN.com bombshell today from Don Van Atta Jr., a $55 million loan that's at the heart of a federal investigation of Daniel Snyder and the Commanders. In a nutshell, Chris, it was a line of credit that was obtained allegedly without board of directors approval from the Washington Commanders. That became an issue in an arbitration between Snyder and his former partners. It got allegedly brushed under the rug by the league, but that's now front and center.
Whoa.
Because it could be bank fraud. There could be other issues. Whoa. It could lead to real prosecution, maybe ultimately of Dan Snyder, and it's kind of the thing that possibly pushes this closer to a conclusion and a sale of the team.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think we're going that way. It's a sale of a team, but I think of Ron Rivera and just go, oh, wow, great. Now he's got to answer more questions about something that has nothing to do with him and try to, you know, calm that whole conversation down. But yeah, it's just amazing. The Commanders, these conversations continue to come up as soon as the season's over.
Yeah, and it just feels like there's always going to be something. And there have been conflicting reports on whether Jeff Bezos is prevented from bidding on the team. Is he prevented? Is he not prevented? Is it just a ruse to get him to offer more?
Or more, right.
And I think at the end of the day, look, Bank of America, which is helping Snyder sell the team, they get a cut of the total amount.
Well, yeah.
And they want it to be as much as possible.
I'm sure. Everybody wants it to be as much as possible. We'll see.
Well, you get all 3 hours today, and we're not doing any more. We're done. We'll be back for another 3 hours tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for some of your time. Get your hands off me, Sims.
Vulcan Death. I got it in, Aunt Wendy. I got it in.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.